Welcome to the Healing Ourselves, Heals Our Hoods podcast with your own Desiana Torres. This is a place for humbled, open, and transparent conversations with members of our own community. Here you can find diverse testimonies of the oppression and trauma faced on both individual and community levels. Do you want to validate the suppressed emotions you've never had the opportunity to speak about? Interested in breaking the silence? Then let's validate all that you feel right here, right now on this podcast. Let's go. Hey y'all, thank y'all so much for joining. We appreciate y'all for your patience because we did have some minor inconveniences, but we here, we're ready to talk, and we're super excited to be able to host these discussions that are sometimes gonna be very uncomfortable, but sometimes they're very needed. And so I just wanna give a little background on like, why are we doing this? Like, why do we get started? Like, why is this, what's the purpose behind this IG Live and the conversations that we're gonna host? And more so, I just really want to share like the life that I grew up in, the community I grew up in, the family that I grew up in. All these things are super essential to the life experiences that I have that sometimes weren't so easy for me to kind of manage and get through. So luckily for me, I was able to like experience different things. I go to college and learn about therapy. Go for a master's program and actually learn how to heal and do all these things. But these stuff ain't accessible to our people. And I feel like it's really essential for us to kind of have these discussions so that we can kind of like heal together. Cause one of my slogans that I'm gonna release a hoodie for, so y'all getting the juicy stuff, is healing myself heals my hood. And I feel like that's real deep and hella powerful in a sense, because it really speaks volume to our love, our commitment, our experiences, and it validates that. So I see a bunch of people joining. Hi y'all, what's up? It's a pleasure to have y'all here. I'm gonna go ahead because I know y'all see somebody sitting here, right? So y'all probably like, who's this person right here? So I'm gonna go ahead and let you introduce yourself a little bit.
Hi, I'm Desi's sister. My name's Isaira. Most of you guys know me as Saira. I am born right after her. We grew up in a four-child, single-parent home. I mean, we have many more siblings, but our main household was that. What else should I add?
Yeah, just a little bit about yourself. That's a fun fact, something they don't know about you.
Whew. A fun fact about me?
People are like, hey, Saira.
Hi, y'all. I don't know. Anytime somebody asks me this question,
I'm like, all right, I'm going to tell y'all some fun facts about her. She is an artist. Like, one thing about her is, like, she knows how to do, like, designs on nails. Like, any cartoon you want or any kind of design you want, like, she got. She be kind of, like, self-doubting herself a little bit, and I'm trying to, like, get her out of that to pursue it a lot more. But she's definitely, if y'all think I'm an artist, because y'all know y'all be seeing some of my paintings and stuff, this one is, like, at a way higher level than me, so... That's a little fun fact about my sister. Also, she's like one of the most shy ones in our family. Our family is very outspoken. So if you know us personally, you kind of get a feel of like, damn, they hella open. Like, they don't sugarcoat nothing. Nope. We don't. Yeah. And it's okay because I feel like life is a little better when you don't sugarcoat stuff. So we're going to get started. So I just wanted to start off to say, this is going to be a real deep and vulnerable conversation, y'all. Like, this ain't no like regular, I don't know, like no regular conversation where y'all just like, okay, I want to feel good. Some of the conversations that we're gonna have, it might trigger you, because we talking about the stuff, what I call the shit that nobody talks about. It's the shit that our family members have kind of brushed under the rug, that have stayed there for so many generations. And so with this generation, we trying to rip that carpet off and be like, all right, y'all, what's all the shit we got to deal with? Okay, what stuff are we really going through in our families and our households? What traumas are we experiencing? So that we could validate that together. Because there's so many people that I meet, and they're like, damn, I'm going through this by myself. And there's so many youth that I provide like resources and assistance when life coaching to. And they're like, damn, you've been through that too? And I'm like, yeah, you've been through that too. And it's just so validating to have that shared experience with people. So the IG Live is in creation to support, to validate, to love, and to create a space for healing for all of us. So we're going to get started. You ready? We might cry. We might curse. Look, okay? We might not even see eye to eye sometimes. And I feel like that's the most authentic form we could bring. And that's my kind of my goal. Like, I'm not trying to come to y'all hella professional. Like, I don't like professionalism. It don't fit me. And yeah, so are y'all ready? Let me see some thumbs up in the comments if y'all ready. I see some people commenting already. Somebody says she's super quiet but hyphy as fuck. Yes, she is.
Also, I like to add that out of my siblings, I'm a very private person. With anything I go through, I'm not the type of person to put anything out there. I like to control my audience. So for me to like come here and talk about my life outside of like my siblings, it's kind of, it makes me anxious, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm willing to do it because like my sister said, like we all go through things, and a lot of times we all go through the same thing. So it helps to know that other people have gone through this too, and that there's ways of like combating that, or mm-hmm. like finding ways to like heal your inner child so that you can move that and part. Progress in life. So
that part, that inner child, I know how many of us have that inner child that gets triggered. And we like, damn, why do I feel like two different people sometimes? Like, sometimes I'm there and I got it. And sometimes it's like this inner part of me that's the little me that kind of needs a little attention too, right? And so before we get started, I'm kind of explaining a little bit what trauma is. Because some of us, we're experts at trauma already. We're like, we don't need the definition. We've been through it. Like, I got trauma. I got a list, a receipt of things, of traumatic experience I have been through. But this conversation specifically is going to be about trauma, but more involved with the family dynamic. So what that means is like there's the oldest, there's the middle child, there's the youngest sometimes. And how does that sometimes, even though we all experience trauma together, how does that differentiate the experiences that we have? Because just because we experience trauma together in a household doesn't mean that we have the same personal impacts.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that again. Just because we live in the same household or experience the same trauma doesn't mean that we're gonna have the same responses and emotional, like, impacts in regards to that trauma. And that's really important, because there's sometimes who are like, oh, it must have not been that bad because your sister fine, but you know you over here being a mess. And yeah. that's not right. And so I have a question for you.
All right.
How, in your opinion, does family dynamics play a role in the trauma experienced within a household?
I mean, when it comes to family dynamics and roles within the family, as you all know, and we've seen memes about this too, every role tends to have its certain characteristics or stereotypes where, you know, the oldest is basically like the second parent, takes on the responsibility when mom or dad is not around, is the leader, do this, do that. whereas the younger ones, like the baby ones, are spoiled, they're rebellious, they get away with things that you wouldn't have as the oldest child.
Jay.
And then there's the middle child who kind of is a little bit more fluid, I feel like. Like, you're, as the middle, you're typically sometimes categorized as the rebellious one, or the quiet one, or the ghost child, where you get lost between the oldest and the babies, and you're just like kind of in the background. There's always all those different ways, but when it comes to trauma, and like acting within that, I feel like most times, starting with the babies, because they're their babies, most times they don't have an idea of what is going on, compared to what the oldest does. The oldest may, for example, see situations or conflicts that the baby who maybe a year old or so, or younger, older, wouldn't even recall. And as the middle child as well, you're kind of in between. Like, sometimes, most times you'll see that. Maybe you're not at a point of understanding it, or maybe you're right there side by side with the oldest, or maybe you're closer in touch with the younger ones, depending on age.
Yeah.
I feel like when it comes to trauma, and like experiencing something, let's say domestic abuse within your parental.
How about we take it to, let's take it there.
All right.
Let's not just speak about it like it's a general experience, okay? We've been in a household with domestic violence, okay? So we gonna take it there so that y'all can fully understand exactly what that looked like for us and how that family dynamics played a role in the trauma that was experienced. So that domestic violence. I know we was just talking because I'm actually in the process of writing another book right now. And I had to write about a lot of traumatic experiences I went through. And I was reading to her what I wrote. And she was like, wow, like, I can't believe that that's exactly how it played out. And so if you want to share a little more details about that experience. Oof, we don't hurt some feelings.
This is a sensitive topic. But at the same time, like, I mean, at the end of it, this is our past. This is how we grew up. These are the things that affected us. No matter where we are at this point, these things leave a print on us. That's the biggest thing to like take from this. So no matter if it's been 10 years and, you know, things have changed, this was our past. This was our environment. And this is the situations that we had to grow from. So with that being said, growing up, as my sister said, we did grow up with a lot of domestic violence happening within our home. We're about a year and a couple weeks apart. So we're not too far off. We're very close in age. But again, there's a lot that my sister remembers that I don't. Or there's a lot that she was around for that I wasn't. And some of these things were being present while, you know, my mother was being abused. And a lot of times my sister, because of those experiences, my sister became the protector, like the sense of responsibility, the fight or flight, those senses all kicked in. It's kicked in for her. So by the time I first witnessed the abuse that was happening to my mother, I was confused. I was like in between roles. A part of me wanted to jump in and do something because I knew that the abuse that was happening to my mother was not right. But at the same time, it was my first time seeing it. And like scared and being new to it. So a part of me wanted to like sit back because I didn't know how to react.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Like I was like in between those roles. And my sister, because she's seen it, because she's a fighter, she was like the second parent that always helped my mom out. She like instantly jumped in and knew that the kids would have to be protected. For one example, we were sitting in the car picking up my brother, and my mom went to go get my brother, and right there while she was trying to get him is when we started seeing the abuse happen. My sister immediately went into fight mode, and she hurried up, jumped out the car. She like knew exactly what to do. She told me, stay in the car, watch my sister, who was a baby at that time. Yeah. And she locked us in the car and immediately went to go for support. Me, as the middle child, I will say, like, in that moment, I didn't know how to assess the issue. A part of me wanted to go fight as well, but at the same time, like, I'm kind of like a listener. I follow what the older sibling said. So she tells me to stay back and protect, that's the role that I have to help with. And then as the baby, of course, like most of it, you're clueless as to what's going on or may hear stories about it. And it may be shocking to you because it's not what you remember. It's not what you knew or experienced.
True. And I love that you brought that up because that car example is something that we were really talking about. And I didn't even realize at that time that that was how I was responding. So in that particular incident, we pulled up in the driveway, we chilling, it's in the morning, you know what I mean? It's supposed to be a good day, like the sun's shining. And I was in the front seat, so sister was in the back with baby sister Jay. And all of a sudden, you can hear, like, my mom being dragged. You can hear her screaming. You can hear just the abuse happening. And it was really hard for me as the oldest because I've seen it so many times already that I already knew how to respond, like she said. So what I did was I tried to turn up the music in the car to, like, cover my mom's scream so that they didn't have to hear it. It was more so like, whew, I didn't think I was going to cry.
It's okay. Safe space.
It's like you tell the story so many times, but oh my God.
I mean, and that's what I was trying to mention before. Like, no matter how much time has passed, no matter how much you try to acknowledge and, like, move on from it, again, the environment that we grew up in, like, those experiences leave imprints on us. And even though you can heal and move past it, it still has the same impact. It can still have the same impact. You can be in a great place.
True.
It's but true. Those are experiences that are like scars.
Yeah. And so I think what was so shocking to me was my response and how quick I was to respond that way. And I didn't even process it then, because when you're kind of in the middle of, like, traumatic experiences, you don't process it right there. Like, for some reason, it's like you go into this fight mode. And then it wasn't until, like, I start actually writing my book or writing about those experiences that these emotions started to come out. And that just showed me for, like, 20 plus years, I've had these deep emotions buried inside of me that I kind of just, like, no one really talked about it. And sometimes we try to bring it up as if, like, yeah, we were, you know, we did witness domestic violence, but there are other parties in the family who, like, don't hold accountability. And I know y'all know what I'm talking about. When people don't hold accountability for their actions, so it kind of belittles your experience or invalidates it.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it gets hard to talk about it, but that's the purpose of this IG live, is to kind of, like, break out of that and teach people that it's okay to talk about stuff that's not painful. Like, it's, you're gonna cry, it's okay. Like, it's not the easiest conversations. But I think what was so hard was, like, realizing the difference in family dynamics of, like, how I was so quick to turn up a little girl, I think I was probably like 8 or 9 years old, and turning up the music in the car so that sisters didn't have to hear it or their experience could be protected from what I knew and what I knew what was going on. And at the same time, I, like, ran in the house and, you know, trying to do the stop, don't hit my mom, like, standing in front of her, that whole protection. And being the person that's almost like seeing the rage exist between a person that you looked upon and was, like, supposed to be your protector and your father. And, like, you know, I'm just gonna say it was my dad, you know what I mean? So in a sense, it's almost like it's a scary position to be in as a child, to, like, have to stand in front of your mother and face this traumatic experience with so much confidence, and to be like, even if I get hurt, like, you still not gonna hurt my mama. Like, my mama, she's, I'm gonna take care of her. And so I think what that experience that sister was talking about was her experience was altered and different because those steps were taking place. There are many times other than that story where when my mom and dad started fighting, I would put them all the way in the back room and put cartoons on, or, like, tell them to play with Barbies, like, all these little things that I would do and try to, like, really pretend like everything was okay and, like, run to the front and try to go handle that situation. And so that's why that family dynamics really does play a role, because the experience that the oldest has is a lot different from the experiences that the young, not even just the middle, because sister started to see it a little bit, but she didn't get to, like, confront it in a way that, like, she was forced to kind of be there, you know what I mean? And little sister, which was baby Jay was like a newborn baby. She was born, but because she was so little, her experiences of being in the same household, even around the same trauma, was a lot different than what we have now, the impacts that we have. And that leads into my next question, is based upon your experience, how do you feel like trauma impacts you personally, or maybe the oldest versus the youngest in adulthood?
I mean, like, first I like to say is that the whole point of this is that we all have trauma and we all experience it in a different way. So although Jay may not have seen the abuse the way we have, doesn't mean that she still didn't get the effects of that trauma.
Mm-hmm.
especially like as she grew older. Most of the time she was born, she already grew up in a single parent home versus us having had our father in our life, like in the same parent home for a while before the separation happened. And then going into this question, I will say I am traumatized from not just the experiences around that. I feel like this specific experience that we were talking about the abuse, my first time seeing it was the turning point of my entire life. That's when my mom finally like sat with all of us, I believe, and started being open with us about the abuse that she's experienced. Like, it's mostly been Desi who's seen it, but at that point we've all played witness to it and all experienced it, and of course we were fearful and didn't know how to take that. So she became honest with us, and that's when honestly my eyes had opened up. At that time our parents separated, and I was a daddy's girl growing up. And growing up with him in the home, he did do well playing with us and like spending time with us. Like, we do have great memories with him growing up. But as well, like, we've had the experiences of the trauma that happens within that relationship. Mm-hmm. The struggles that we've had in a single parent home financially, time wise, you know, my mom spent so much of her time trying to work to provide for us four that we didn't see her all the time, most of the time. And I'm so thankful that my abuela and my sugar mama used to help take care of us all the time. And, you know, we've seen the complications that happened throughout our whole life when it comes to the single parent home, all the struggles, not being able to financially join, certain programs, or being able to like hang out with friends,
go to the movies, like school clothes, like stuff.
The biggest one is to eat during lunchtime.
Oh man, we can't afford food, y'all. Like, that's how.
I mean, especially in high school when we had open campus lunch is when it really was difficult for us to eat, because, you know, everybody's giving money, everybody's going to like, what do we have, Church's Chicken, Burger King, like
everybody's in Fremont High School,
the Taco Bell, like the taco trucks, and most of the time we had to lie and say we're not hungry. Like, it's okay, we're not hungry, or we'll eat later, we don't want it. But really, we didn't have that financial stability to even afford that.
Yeah.
There was a time where, like, my mom would give us $5, and we'll get together, like, okay, how are we going to spend this $5 to make sure that both of our hunger is met? And, like, with all that struggle, when it comes back to my trauma, you know, I get terrified of being unfinancially stable. I get terrified to be in relationships. I get terrified to like even be a parent, is like the biggest one, because I'm of age. Everyone's like, okay, when are you having kids? But for that, it's just like, you know, I've experienced so much unstableness in my life that I fear to continue that unstableness in my future or in my kids' life. You know, I don't want my kids to go through the upbringings that I've had. I don't want to struggle financially the way that my mom had to. And like, of course, she had to split her check amongst us all, and like, just the emotional and the mental health that comes with it. Like, you guys know what it's like when you guys go through a breakup and like have to detach yourself, and you know, you go through the memories, and like those are one of the hardest things that people can go through. And to the single parents out there who like manage to find a way and do great at it, all praise to you. But I think because of all of this, I have trauma to begin life, or to begin to start new life, because I'm terrified of the outcome. Yeah. Like, I've had enough of this unstableness where all I crave is peace and stability.
That part.
And if the only way I can get peace and stability is to be single and content with myself and to continue to work and build my career, then I will do that. Mm-hmm. I know, like, you know, starting a family or being in a relationship, like, I would like to do. And I'm just too scared that I will be in the situation that I was grown up with, especially to be in my mom's role.
That part.
In a relationship, being a single parent, or facing any abuse. I'm scared to do that to my children, but I'm scared to go through that myself.
True. I feel like you touched on a lot of important things. So we're going to take a break and kind of read the comments too, because we really want to see what y'all saying too, how y'all relating to this. But you talked about like lunch, and lunch was such a big thing. And if you grew up in a single parent household, you already have like a scarcity of like food in the household, like groceries. Like my mom, she, I don't know if y'all have fridge. Like my mom would buy food to decorate the fridge. Okay. Like it was, do not open the juice, don't open the milk. Like it was that, like we were that limited with like how much we can use. And if you see me laughing, we laugh at our trauma. I don't know if anybody else like that, but that's why people kind of consider it weird. Like, oh, it must have not been that painful because you laugh about it. No, it was. When you laugh about it, it don't feel as heavy, right? But there are times when we did go to school and like we could see other kids, and I'm not saying all the kids had it like that, because we grew up in Oakland and we went to Fremont High School, and so you kind of seen some of the kids who didn't have that experience, and they have free lunch. But at the time, like, y'all know there's stigma around that free lunch. Like, if you in that free lunch line, like, you poor. Like, yeah. And that's what we was just so embarrassed about, because it was so hard to just be realistic with our reality of, like, yeah, we don't have food, or no, we're not hungry. People would even offer us, like, oh, I'll buy you something. But it just felt like somebody was giving me their pity. And I know it wasn't that way, but when you're at that age, you just don't understand the world around you. You don't understand poverty like that. And poverty is also a traumatic like experience that a lot of us go through, because it involves so much things. And there were times where we like, when it came to school clothes every year, I don't know if y'all had it like that, but we got one shirt, one pair of pants, a pair of socks, and like a pair of shoes, and all of it came from DD's and Ross. Okay. Yeah. It wasn't like you're gonna get the freshest Nikes, you're not getting the freshest Jordans. Like, we didn't have it like that, but we made it work. We shared clothes. Our cousins will always donate and give us clothes, so it was a lot of like, you know, I don't know if y'all had that same experience where y'all just be changing clothes with your cousins and stuff, and
we also keep that alive. We also have family member for thankful for them, who would also like help support our mom in making sure that we're okay. So Rocky? Like, Rocky, if you're in here, like the Rocky has helped us a lot, like Christmas. School time, Christmas time. Here we go again. But like, you know, we Thea Mary as well. It really does take a village, and I think that we've had so many strong women that help come in and step in to help make sure that we would have something. So like, if my mom was able to get $200 to help take us school shopping, you know, we would split that 50 a piece and we'll go crazy. And Didi's, but you've never seen kids be good at math until
until you got a budget
and try to make $50 work for school clothes.
Okay.
But we always found happiness in it. We'd come home, everybody's trying on their school clothes. Oh, we're doing like a walkout show. Like, how should I wear this? Is this a good outfit? Like,
and we learned how to like work that one outfit like 10 different ways. like, you know what I mean? You mix this shirt with these pants and this and that, and it just, it looked different, but it's the same stuff, right? And you also mentioned something that is really important that I feel like a lot of people can also relate to, is like the prolonging the kids. Because I've always like wanted kids, but like because of my experience and like growing up as the oldest and experiencing all the trauma and seeing like the fear of being left by yourself to raise kids, it's just, I was like, no. People be like, when you having kids? I have kids. I literally used to say, I'm not having kids. Like, I was so confident in that. And it wasn't because I didn't want kids. I was terrified.
Yeah.
I was so scared of, like, not being enough. Not being able to provide. Or allowing my kids to kind of, like, experience the same trauma that I experienced. Or experience the same poverty that I experienced. Just, like, all these fears and concerns. And I was like, I don't even want to put that on my child, you know? And so I feel like that fear and that concern a lot of people can relate to, because I thought it was just me who felt that way. Because me and my sister were like, how are we the oldest? And everybody else in our family got kids but us, right? Yeah. Like, everybody. Yeah. And they just planning them. My sister was like, yeah, I'm about to plan baby number two. I said, girl, is you crazy? Like, what? And for us, they like, when you having kids? And I'm like, when you having kids? No, I used to be like, when she had kids? Like, we used to always point fingers back and forth.
I like to point that I was right.
Yeah. Yeah. It was me. Okay. But yeah, I feel like that was like, our trauma really played a huge role. And the family dynamics included in that, because we were the oldest and we witnessed so much, played a huge role in how we like envisioned a life or pursued a life that we felt that we could experience some peace in. You were talking about that peace. Before you answer, I'm going to kind of read some of the comments. I'm going to turn my neck a little sideways.
While you do that, I wanted to add on to it. Something that me and Desi experienced that my little siblings didn't was my mom used to have the sex talk with us all the time. And it wasn't always, you know, like the birds and the bees or whatever the case was. Like, most of it was, you know, don't have sex, don't have babies. Like, if you're gonna do it, you know, use protection, but don't do it. And like, we've had that conversation so many times that to do anything around that was traumatic. Like, even as we got older and knew that we're older, like 22 23 25,
it felt like we
were getting in trouble for having kids, because we were always told not to. Exactly.
It was such a bad thing. Like, and I know a lot of women in so many Hispanic households, and it could be vice versa or amongst many, but they really make sex seem like it's so bad that even when you're like in a place where you can enjoy it and like you with your man and stuff, you still like, oh my God, like, this is horrible. I'm committing a crime or I'm committing a sin. And so even a child coming from that just seems so traumatic, because our parents are like, you better not be out there making them kids, you know? Like,
yeah.
And it really put a lot of pressure on us, because my mom used to be like, go to school, go travel, go do this. And, and I'm doing all that stuff. And she's like, mija, ya te vas el tiempo. Like, your time is going to run. What are you doing with your life? Why do you keep going to school? And I'm like, ain't this what you told me to do?
Yeah.
I'm confused.
The conversation went from don't have kids to when are you gonna have them? And it's just like, you told me not to. Like, that's, you told me I have to live life in a certain order. Of course, my mom's done a lot of growing, and something that she mentioned that I keep in mind is not everybody has the same life plan. Like, not everybody's life is meant to be in that same order that we all look for. School, graduate college, meet the love of your life, build your career, buy a home, have kids. Like, everybody's life story is different, and it's okay.
That part. My sister, comma, read some of the comments right now. My sister said that, eat better today. Y'all, my family is so funny. Like, my family's so funny. Y'all know EBT, right? EBT. Like, my mom was so embarrassed to use it, because, of course, like, that governmental assistance and stuff. So we came up with code names for everything. So we used to be like, mama, we eating better today? That was our code word. Like, did that EBT hit this month? And it was our code word in the community. And it was so funny, because for us, it was like, shoot, we getting food. Like, but for the world, they would be so judgmental of those who were using those assistants. And then also, because we would shop at Dee's all the time, we used to always have people be like, you look like you shop at Dee's. And I'd be like, I don't. I shop at Devonna Davis. Devonna Davis. And this one girl had the nerve to really be like, oh, I shop there too. Girl, I made that name up. Devonna Davis is Dee's, okay? I just made it sound fancy. I just made it sound so fancy. We do have a bunch of comments in here. It says, thank you guys for sharing these personal stories. We appreciate you so much, Bobby. We have someone else. I can't read y'all name. Sorry, y'all. My head can't turn that much. But family dynamics really does play a huge role. I agree. I definitely understand. I'm glad we're having this conversation, y'all. It was so scary, but we here. Yeah. We doing it. We do have says, look at you beautiful women thriving. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you.
Becca said, having a child and dealing with trauma is really reparenting yourself. Oh, that's
Ooh.
Deep.
Yeah.
That's deep.
Oof.
Whoa. You hit us in the feels. We also have comments that are saying, big love to all the Theas, for real. Some people are like, I felt that you become resourceful as fuck. Yeah, I'm assuming they talking about when we was like making them outfits work out, budgeting them $50. People are saying, thank you for being so raw about life. I really appreciate y'all for showing. And then also the resilience that we build, because that's so true. There's so much, resilience that we do build from these experiences. We have Christina saying, I love and appreciate how real y'all are being. This thing needs to be talked about. For real, girl. That's why we trying to talk about it a lot now. Like, it's so untalked about. It's really what I call this shit no one talks about, because it's not talked about enough.
Yeah.
Vanessa says, it took a while for me to think of becoming a mother at age 31.
Girl, I am 30, about to be 30, okay?
I feel that so much, because, look, even when I got pregnant, I was so scared. I was like, oh no, everything. I thought of all the bad that could happen, but when you get there, you learn to reparent yourself. You learn to kind of process your own trauma and come up with, like, try not to cry. You come up with the good instead of always focusing on what could be bad. Like, because we're so aware of trauma, because we're so aware of how it impacts, because we're so aware of how it felt, we're less likely to put that on our kids. And I feel like we forget that sometimes of going into these experiences. Zena said, at least your mother had that conversation with y'all as a kid. That's for real.
Yeah.
And that kind of leads into, like, some of the tips that we had, because a lot of parents, especially when I was a therapist, there were so much experiences that we would, that so many people would experience in a household, but they wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah.
It was almost like I said, like, you bury it under the rug kind of thing, to where, like, the kids would be like, yo, I'm experiencing this, and I'm like, yeah, like, how has you, you know, have you talked to your mom about it? And they're like, no, they don't. They just say it didn't happen, or they invalidated. Or there's a lot of sexual abuse that happens in households that people keep silent for some reason, and I'm not understanding of that. And most times it's invalidating experiences that the children have to process and all that stuff. And it really prolongs it. And so I feel like my mom, I mean, I get it. As parents, we don't want our kids to see the world the way we want it. We want it to be la la land. Like, look,
yeah.
Go play, go have fun, go experience your inner child. Don't worry about these struggles. Like, we got it. It's like adult stuff. You know what I mean? We try to, like, really protect our children that way. So I don't feel like people or parents do it with the intent to harm their children. But sometimes those conversations are so necessary. Like, y'all, if your kids see the traumatic experience and you're not talking about it.
Yeah.
It's not gonna help. My mom talking about it validated our experiences and allowed for us to peep game and to understand and to learn how to process. I mean, she still kind of sugarcoated it in a way that, like, it wasn't that wrong in full effect until we started getting older and then really asking those questions. But she still would sit us down as a family and be like, how did you feel? Like, y'all know y'all seen this, so, like, let's talk about our feelings. And I feel like, I really feel like the reason why I was able to process so much and be in a place to where I can now talk about it to other people, because there's so many of us that are still like, I'm not sharing this to the world yet, like, yeah. I'm not ready for that. It's because if you come to our household and you just see how me and my family talk, you'd be like, what is this? Like, how y'all mama talking to y'all about this stuff? And my mom, she keeps
there's
it
no filter. With
us. She don't filter it, and I feel like that really helped us, because, again, that validation is what we really need as children. I always tell parents when I used to provide therapy and stuff is like, children listen to those who listen. Children listen to those who listen. Ooh. So many times as parents, we're like, I'm the parent, shut up, because I said so, because this and because mm-hmm. that. And that's such a generational thing that we've learned from our ancestry and back in our families that sometimes it's like, well, mama, you might be wrong. And Sada will tell you, like, I think that goes into the next question. What behaviors did you see in the differences of, like, the oldest to the youngest when it came to, like, the trauma we experienced?
I mean, it ties into the roles, too. But, I mean, yeah, everybody has a different way of experiencing trauma. Something that I noticed with Desi, you know, especially when it came time to, like, getting in trouble or almost getting her ass whooped. When it came to, like, being silent and, like, taking the yelling or whatever, the hits, the whips, like, talking back. This one here will talk back all the time. And while she would talk back all the time, I tried to, like, help her out. Like, sister, be quiet. Don't like, say nothing. Just silent treatment. Like, I would be on silent treatment mode. But I think it ties into the trauma because, you know, seeing the things that she's seen and, like, having, like, that leadership mentality with born within her. You know, just because is not a good answer for every child. It's so vital and it's so important to teach the kids the why. Mm. Like with anything, when you give them the why, there is more understanding to it. And we weren't always getting that why when we were younger. So Desi would be like, well, why I gotta get hit? Well, why is that bad? Why can't I talk back? Like, you're wrong. I should be able to tell you when you're wrong. versus, like, myself, you know, like, being the middle child, or just, like, myself in general, you know, I've become so traumatized to confrontation that the moment I'm in trouble or anything, the best thing I can do is be silent mode. Give the silent treatment, kind of like disappear in the back. Because to me, that's safe. That's safe. I want to be safe. I don't want to be in trouble. I don't want to get the whoopings or whatever comes from it. Like, I want to keep myself safe. So that is my survival mode, is to, like, go silent, protect myself versus sister here, you know, putting herself on the outskirts, like, you know, like, I need to know what is right, and basically fighting back. And it's not always a bad thing when your child talks back to you. Most times, like, if you're listening, they're trying to understand why that they're in trouble, or why is it that what they're doing is bad, because they don't have the same knowledge as you do. I don't know if you guys have ever watched, for example, there's a short film that was on the Encanto movie, or you can still find it in Disney Plus.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember the name of it, but it's with the raccoon. And we went to go see that in theater with our friend Jose. And that short film had us bawling,
like,
because
crying. There
was such a big message in that. I don't want to take away from the people who need to watch it, but regardless, please watch it if you can. It's with the raccoons. But it was about parenting and how parenting looks when you're trying to protect your child. The scenario with this, it was that, you know, the raccoon mom was trying to guide her child on ways of moving with protection. You know, don't go this way, you know, it's not safe yet. Okay, go. Or, like, stay here, don't move, I'm gonna go get food. And through all of that, there was no showings of why. And as a child, you have a pure mind, you don't know the things that can come from the situations because you don't have that experience under your belt. and the baby raccoon wandered off, you know, I see this, I want to get myself food too, or I want to play with the birds. And during that, I don't remember what the animal was, maybe it was a wolf, but came and tried to attack him, and mom went into fight mode and did what she could to save her child. And at the end of it, she got very angry with her child. Like, this is what happens. This is why I told you to stay here. And that experience within itself is traumatizing because, like, as a child, you have eat your legs. But, like, as a child, you have a pure mind. You don't know what the world consists of or, like, the evil that is out there. And then as that child grew up, as that baby raccoon grew up, it caught itself doing the same thing to its own child. And like, you stay here, I'll get the food. And of course, a child with a pure mind is going to wander off and experience life. The child is seeing the world from different eyes than we are. We're seeing it from experience, mm-hmm. and they're seeing it from the pureness of their mind. And the same cycle repeated. And the raccoon that was that child before had to go and save its own child, and immediately saw the cycle repeating itself. And that raccoon had to be like, no, like, I'm not gonna repeat this. And so what the raccoon did is went up to the top of the tree and took his child and it said, like, look beyond. Like, this is why. Danger. Yeah, look at the danger there. This is why I tell you to, like, stay back. It's to protect you. And that was so deep because just saying or, like, telling the why as to why you parent the way that you do. It's so important. It's an eye-opener within itself. Like, baby, I tell you not to play outside by yourself. Because not because I said so, but because, and give the why. That why is so vital. And sometimes, like, we have to learn on our own, even with the why, but you don't know how much that why can necessary. Make a difference within itself.
Yeah, because you said it so right. Like, because I guess I felt like I was for sure the child. I know, girl. we appreciate you so much for, like, really sharing and, like, really going deep. Because I know it's not easy, especially, like, on live with people that you may not know. And so yeah. I feel like that conversation is so real because it explains that generational trauma that constantly, it just existed. We say it because we learned it. Those are the voices we hear. Like, you know, when you hear your mama say, because I said so, I'm pretty sure when my son is born, I'm pretty sure it's going to come out of my mouth once. Like, I'm pretty sure. And it doesn't mean that I don't remember a care. It just means that sometimes we have to unlearn and learn in the midst of it. And so my mom and me had a really rough relationship growing up. I mean, we used to fight like sisters. Like, and my mom was a teen mom on top of that. So, like, yeah. We really, like, got down like sisters. And it wasn't that I didn't respect her. It was that we couldn't see eye to eye because I was the child who... kind of how I am now. I'm always the advocate. Like, hold on. Yeah. Nope, that's not right. It don't make me feel right. It just don't seem right. And it don't make sense. And if those three things don't align, if it don't make sense to me, then I'm not going to abide by it. Because it don't make sense to me. And so I was always that child to, like, always have an attitude or, like, call my mom out all the time and be like, nope, that's not right. My mom, you know, that's the wrong thing to do. Is tell your parents they not right. Because your parents don't want to be wrong. And in our sense or in our perspective, especially as parents, like, we want to be right. Because in a sense, like my sister was saying, like, our experiences in life or the parents' experience is a lot different from the child. But the child doesn't understand that experience because we haven't lived it yet. Sometimes I used to tell my mom, like, my mom's like, didn't I tell you not to do this? Didn't I? Look at what happened. And I'm like, I've had to tell her, like, mom, yes, you did tell me. And you're right. Like, it did have an impact on me. But sometimes I got to go through that experience so I could learn. Sometimes you just got to touch the stove when they tell you not to touch the stove and it's hot for you to be like, ouch, like, that's actually really hot, right? It's almost like we have to also combine that experience with that lesson for it to make sense. Now, we don't want our kids to go through those same experiences. You know what I mean? We want to protect them, but in a sense, it's just being able to, like, learn how to parent in a way that allows for our kids to understand that why or because. And so this short film that Sissy was talking about is called Far From the Tree.
Yes, please watch that. Far From the Tree.
It's a Disney short film.
Maybe 2 minutes, but we were bawling immediately.
We cried so much, and it was so important. I know that time is coming down. We probably only have about 5 minutes. This went by pretty fast. Wow.
I mean, well, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I feel like we must have been talking a lot.
I mean, these questions kind of got deep. Right here, I see some comments. Vanessa says, sometimes if you ask why, you look like a smartass. Yeah, it's true. And you get treated like you're being a smartass.
Ass whooped, okay? If you like me, you get your ass whooped for asking a why. But I take the ass whooping, huh? Since it was
crazy, I mean, the best thing we can do now, because most of us are parents or are on our way of being parents at some point. And then just keeping this in mind, not always is the child trying to be a smartass when they're trying to understand.
I'm just trying to learn. Like, it don't make sense, mama. Like, make it make sense, because it don't make sense. Before we end, I do want to, we do have a couple more comments that I can read. Said I have your phone right here so you don't break your neck.
Mom's like, what?
I could barely read sideways, too. We do have some people saying that they relate to it. Some people said lots of necessary talking, like, yeah, I know that a lot of us are new time parents. I know a lot of us have experienced trauma, and I know a lot of us may have more than one kid. Like, that experience, that family dynamics, that pressure that we put on everybody. Because even though, like, I was probably, like, the hardest child to raise, and I feel like a lot of it was due to the trauma experience and the unprocessed emotions, like, I was one of the kids who kind of, like, kept pushing for school and pushing for this, and there was this expectation that all the kids had to do that and be like that. And that's not realistic. Like, I want my sisters to just be happy. Do what y'all want to do. Do whatever makes you happy. I had the pressure of going to college and doing all this stuff because in my head, I was still trying to help my family survive. Like, I was still in survival mode. And I'm not saying that college ain't necessary and it's not important. Some of us have different reasons why we do it. But if it were really up to me, I probably wouldn't have gone. You know what I mean? Like, if it were really, really up to me, and if I lived a life that was, like, not so traumatic, I wouldn't be so desperate to try to find keys and resources to help my family get out of it. Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for it, you know what I mean? I definitely learned a lot. And we're going to get into that conversation, I believe, in August, on like how sometimes even the education systems are hella oppressive to our life experiences and things like that. Some people are saying, thank you for the transparency, honesty, and your truth and vision. Much appreciated. Thank y'all so much. Before we end, I do want to leave y'all with some family-informed, like, I don't want to call it treatments because I'm not licensed as a therapist right now, but if I were to be a therapist right now, these are some things that I would recommend, right? Educating each family member on the signs of post-traumatic stress disorder. So many of us got PTSD and don't even know it. So many of us are having nightmares, reliving the same experiences, and some of us are like, moving with age. Like, some of us probably had something happen to us when we were like 16 and we 20, but we still have that mindset of like, I'm going back to that, or I'm still feeling like that 16-year-old. Being able to educate our child and talk to them and help them process through those emotions. Another one is encouraging our family members to talk together about their traumatic experience.
Yeah.
That is really something that my mom did that a lot of parents and families don't do today, because I get it, like, we want to shelter our kids, we want to protect them, we want to pretend the world is la la land instead of the world we really live in. But our kids are going to open up that door and see it one day, you know what I mean? So it's really important for us to have these conversations to really, like, just allow for them to feel prepared and safe and feel like they can come to the parents when it does get tough or when life does get hard. Because there's sometimes, and a lot of parents who don't validate the traumatic experiences that we go through, and we spend our whole teenage years or adult years, you know, so much of our time trying to really differentiate, did this really happen or am I tripping? Like, did this happen or am I tripping? Another thing is promoting safety for all family members and preventing exposure to further traumas. And sometimes that's just coming up with safety plans with your kids. If someone touch you here, you let me know. If someone says this, you do this. Like, having these precautions in place to help kids know how to protect themselves, but also know how to go to support when needed. Because there's so many times with parents and kids, like kids will go to their parents and say, and the parents are like, that's not happening. Like, it can't be happening. And sometimes it is. And it's okay. Like,
and then just remember during those conversations when you are setting those boundaries with your kid to like have boundaries and keep their boundaries, make sure that you're consistently letting them know the why. Let me know when somebody is touching you a way that makes you uncomfortable. Why? Because nobody should be making you uncomfortable or touching you that way. And I want to keep you safe. And just know that that door is always open and you can always come to me without any judgment and know that I'm going to be here on your side. Saying that versus nobody should touch you and that's that. Like, there's a difference between both. Knowing that I am safe and that you're keeping me safe and you've laid down the why as to why I should let you know these things will make me feel like I can go to you when it does happen.
True. Just creating a safe environment for our kids. Creating a safe environment for ourselves. Because how we take care of ourselves, especially like me becoming a mother, like, it's so much that I didn't know that I'm learning through this pregnancy that it's allowing for me to really be able to understand parents on a whole different level. Right? Because sometimes like, oh, I get it. Like, I've been working with youth for 10 plus years, so I understand it. No, you do, but we're still limited with that experience, right? And so a lot of us just want to create a safe zone for our kids. We want to protect our kids. We want to love our kids. I know a lot of the stuff that we're putting upon them isn't necessarily us being bad parents. A lot of it is just shit we learned from our past, from like our grandmas. I mean, from my mamas who learned from their grandmas, who learned from great grandma, and it goes so on. But there has to come a point in our generation where we're like, hold on, like, this ain't right. We got to stop this. We got to break this generational curse, right? And so the last thing that I want to do is also linking families to essential community resources that can help them recover. If your kids experience traumatic experiences, get them help. Get them talking to a therapist, a life coach, or somebody to help them process their emotions. Because sometimes kids don't always feel safe to go to their parents, even though that's what we want. Some of us, like, my mom sometimes like created the most safe space and I'm like, I'm still not going to that woman. Like, I'm scared of her. But that was more like due to our upbringing, but more so just creating an environment for our kids to have so much social support and connection to resources, maybe groups and stuff that allows for us to process our traumas together so that we can heal. And so me and my family, my sister and my younger sister and my brother, we have such a strong relationship because we could talk to each other about the shit nobody talks about, and it's uncomfortable. That's the one thing that I feel like a lot of people don't do it, is because it is hella uncomfortable. But we got to get comfortable in the uncomfortable so that we can create a new foundation, almost like that Encanto movie. Ooh, that house is breaking. That house is cracked, y'all. We need to stop putting the carpets over it, the little picture frames over the little cracks in the wall, and rebuild something that's allowing for the future, not just our generation, but the future generations to be able to experience that peace and that love and that sincerity of safety, right? And so with that, we thank you. We appreciate y'all. Is there anything else you want to leave them with? I know we got the ice cream truck in the back.
I know. Thea Rocky came in here and she said it sounds like we're back on 66. We in the hood again, and it reminds of a 66.
We live on we live in LA now, but it's the hood part of LA, but it feels like home.
Yeah.
So you'll hear the ice cream trucks. Hopefully you don't hear the gunshots and the drive-bys while we're on the live. But
I mean, overall, like, if you guys take anything from this, know that as siblings, like, you know, like, siblings are like your first friends. Not everybody experienced or has taken trauma the same. And the most important thing you can do with that is make sure that you guys keep that open communication. We've talked about it. Our siblings have talked about it. Our siblings are more than just the four that we've mentioned, and we've all talked about the trauma that we've experienced and how it's affected us. She takes it differently versus how I take it. I'm a very anxious person. Versus my sister, who's willing to like jump in and like take fight.
Yeah, I'm ready to fight.
Whatever. Yeah, that. As well as when it comes to parenting, like being from the child's perspective, you know, we see a lot of the trauma and it is going to traumatize us. Yeah. But having that open communication with your kids, allowing your kids to express their feelings through all of it, like how it makes them feel, validating how they feel, help them with their upbringings emotionally, because we know that mental health is so vital, especially with everything that's going on in this world. We don't need any more of it. And the best thing we can do is make sure that we are talking to the kids, to our kids, that we are coming with open ears, not judgment, not a closed mindset, and making sure that where needed, you're getting them the appropriate help. And the help is not to make them feel like they are the help, that they need it, but it's to make sure that they're able to process the emotions and the things that are affecting their mental health so that they can overcome that and develop that and to learn to get to a place where they're at peace and can thrive in life. And a little homework. Please watch that short film that we mentioned.
Far From the Tree.
Yes. And if you have not watched Encanto,
then what are you waiting for?
That part. Or like you've watched it because the kids are watching it.
But you ain't watch really it
yourself it? With an open eye view. Mm-hmm. Because you'd be surprised at how much that movie talks about the foundation of family and how we're raised and how everybody has their role. The black sheep, the one that has to be strong, Louisa, the one who has to upkeep with the perfection image that they're seen to have, or the one who feels that they don't have a place, or is trying to correct the wrong that they see to make it right for everyone. Please watch those with an open eye view, and you'd be surprised at how much you can learn from those.
Movies really do be like making sense.
Yeah,
like,
they're not and just Disney cartoons. Disney's been on point with it because. Those hit home, literally.
But I appreciate y'all so much for watching. And I really appreciate you, sister, for joining, because I'm reaching out to folks who not really in the professional field, because I feel like we all experts of our own stories. Like, we don't need to go and make it sound professional to make it real, right? Mm-hmm. And so next week, I'm going to be actually meeting with my mama. I'm going to be talking with my mother, and we're going to have some serious discussions about single-parent households and the silent struggles that single parents face. That conversation, I probably won't be able to talk. I'm going to be crying so much because me and my mom cry together all the time. But we really, really appreciate y'all so much for your time, your patience. I've seen our numbers have been up, and it's been consistent throughout. The comments have been blowing up. I really appreciate that y'all really connect to this. And stay tuned for the journey, y'all, because this is just the start. This is going to be going on until October, I believe, where I'm going to be doing lives every week. So I appreciate y'all. I love y'all so much. And remember, healing ourselves heals our community. So let's continue to push forth that. All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye. I'll see y'all next week.
Love y'all too.